5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario, and I am here with Mark Mecca. What's your government name, Mark?
Marcus Edward Carpenter.
Marcus Carpenter.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up.
Right in this neighborhood, actually. Well, over the hill on Norton Street. The wide part where the cars park funny. When we came here from Jamaica, we first lived in West Haven, and then we moved to Marvel Road, and then we moved to Norton, and that was in 1971.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you move here with your both parents, or?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a child of, you know, I grew up with both of my parents in the beginning.
Okay, in the beginning. Well, okay, so. How was your dad?
That's my guy. I miss him. He was a Jamaican man in every sense. I mean, couldn't talk to him much, tell you off. You know, he didn't use many words other than the F word during conversation. And he worked like a brute. I mean, a literal brute all day, every day to support us before he gambled the money away. You get it? So he lived a stressful life because I know for a fact he was sincere when he said to me, just one more time, I'm going to make money, man. You know, and we're going to be there. We're going to go. We're going to have, you know, you're going to have everything you want. And I used to sit there and I used to look at him and saying in my mind, all I really want is you. You know what I mean? But hey, go ahead. Because you are messing up and trying to make it happen too. And you're teaching me a lesson there, a very valuable one. That, hey, them scales balance one way or the other. If they're in the middle, you got a shot. But if one is up too high or the other one is down too low, need I say any more?
You know
what I mean? That's what I learned from my dad.
What was his name?
Vernon. Vernon Robert Carpenter.
Oh, man. Yeah. A childhood that was tough, but do you remember a good story?
Nah. I remember the fact that no matter what, whether he two-timed my mom, gambled the money away, did whatever, every year he planted a garden for me. Every year. And I don't mean no little, you know, you got the thing over here. No. I mean rows of vegetables. Rows. Kalaloo, which is spinach. You know, a lot of people don't know what kalaloo is when they go into a Jamaican restaurant to eat. But it's a very healthy spinach. It's crossed with something else. I can't remember what it is. But irregardless, we prepare it with saltfish or maybe salt pork to give more flavor and add a little meat to the vegetable. But he made me that. He made me tomato, cucumber, corn, which is my favorite thing. His corn that he grew, I have yet to have it better anywhere in the world. Me and my wife go to the farm in Orange. I forget what's the name of that one. It's the one on Racebrook.
Yep.
And we see a lot of unique vegetables there, and we buy them, and we get the corn. But I said, wow, this corn is good, but my father still had it nailed. You know what I mean?
It's so, that certain seed. Yeah. He used to save seed back in the day.
Yeah, right on. Yep.
Talk a little bit about your moms.
No disrespect to anybody listening or you. I had the best mom. I do. I got the best mom. I got a real mom. One that, she can't even talk no more. But there's not a stronger presence in the world for me. I look at her. And now I understand what it is to be a parent. You forego your whole life for your children. And that's what she did for us.
You're in a position like many, many people where dementia and Parkinson's and these diseases that we do not know
Alzheimer's. You got to pronounce it right now. It ain't Alzheimer's, it's Alzheimer's. You gotta use the German part, Alzheimer's, that's what it is. Yeah. It's crazy because Bob Marley said it to us real simple back in the 70s. Once a man, twice a child, but everything is just for a while. And that is what dementia and Alzheimer's is. Hmm. Once a man or woman, twice a child. Hmm. You revert back to your childish mannerisms at the end of your life. Mm. But some people like George Burns, this motherfucker, this guy, he drank whiskey and smoked cigars till he was 95 years old. Never missed a beat, could dance, could do all kinds of stuff. My mother couldn't move past 81, I think. She'd been in the bed 11 years or 12, and she's 91 years old now. And for all intents and purposes, other than the fact that she can't do nothing for herself and she's as skinny as a rail, she's actually healthy. She doesn't have diabetes anymore. It's weird. You get what I'm saying? So they pronounced her, they read her rights at least four times in the last decade. I used to live two doors away from her before we moved. And my sister lives there. And God rest, or not God rest, but God bless my sister. She's in terminally cancer now. Yeah, and she's in Smilo now. And I say a prayer for her as often times a day that I can because her and I, we were quite indifferent in this last decade. We didn't actually speak to each other at all. And when I got married 6 years ago, my wife and I moved two doors away from my mom's house. I wanted to stay there in the neighborhood. And when the ambulance come, I'd be there so I could actually see her and maybe try to help. I lived through that the better part of 10 years, too, and that was hard, man. Because the ambulance did come down the street in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
It stopped there one night. But it wasn't for her, it was for my sister.
Wow.
Go figure. Right. So, you know,
how important? I'm going to ask you this because a lot of people take it for granted, right? They don't reach out to their siblings. They have beef over the dumbest things. How important is it to repair those relationships and actually have those tough conversations?
I think that short of a violent attack with a weapon, with murder in your eyes. And maybe even after that, if either one of you survive, there's still hope. You get it? But other than that, you're fools if you don't repair your relationship, whether it be a blood relative of any, starting with a brother or sister. No, actually starting with a mother to a child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then you can just go all the way down the line to 15th cousin. But everybody should get along because you should treat people the way you want to be treated. Now, what happens is there's a battle. Something about you, no matter how much you're revered, your sister hates. Something else about you, your brother does. Something about you, your mom doesn't like. A lot of stuff about you, your mom don't like, especially you not listening to her. And then you having to come back with mom, you know, I messed up. For the 15th time, you're an adult now. You know, you'll get the pass. I give my kids passes. My youngest kid is 14. I don't have a relationship with her. That's another thing to cry about. But hey, at least we're alive and we do text each other every day. At least that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She lives in Hamden. And you heard me use the word text, not mm-hmm. see.
That's fine. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. But you still have opened yeah. the lines of communication.
Or almost there because I pay for a phone.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, hey.
But anyway, those conversations are very important to have. The tough ones especially. But a lot of times we had to fault each other for being selfish to create them tough conversations. I mean, really cut and dry. Once you are a certain age, you know certain things about certain people. And beyond that, let's really get down to brass tacks. It is never your fault, Jose. It's mine.
Hmm.
You know why? Because of regardless, if you got up from that chair and slapped me in my face right now, it depends on what my reaction is, how things go from there on. I said, okay, I'm going to leave your place, cower, crawl out of here, whatever have you. And I'll leave it at that. Because that's probably what I would do anyway. So I don't, you know, you get what I'm saying. It's like we create a lot of situations that we end up regretting and having to repair ourselves when we shouldn't even have created them.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. These are the words of Marcus Carpenter. And like always here on the drum, you know how we do. We have these, we have the conversation of all conversations. Mr. Carpenter, you said that you grew up in the inner city.
Mm-hmm. I went to Hill House. Well, let's start with...
elementary.
Yeah, it's closed. It's been a Jewish residence maybe about 30 years. Roger Sherman School, which is beyond where they closed Wells Fargo at. Or Norton Street, same street I grew up on. Yep.
You went there, then for
Troop.
Troop, okay.
And that's when in the late 70s, I always loved that song by Common that describes hip hop as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Yeah, the allure.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, the sexiness.
Uh-huh.
The streets in
I
in
was
that.
There from the mofo beginning, and I stand on that. And secularly, don't think I don't have conversations with my big brothers like White Flash on the regular at least 4 times a week about him telling me how dumb I am about not having Serato. I do have Serato. I don't like it, so I don't pursue it to use it secularly. Now, everybody, my wife.
But we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
No, listen to me.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Everybody encourages me to do it because if I use Serato, I probably could broaden the base of the clients I have because I could play da-da-da-da-da. But for me spiritually, I got to play vinyl or else I don't want a DJ.
We're not even getting. So do you tell me that your love for music started
in 1977 or 8.
What was your first twirling with the hip hop culture? Was it through vinyl? Was it breakdancing? Was it graffiti?
It was listening to back then what were really truly mixtapes. Getting takes for Cold Crush, Fantastic Five, Furious Five, before they were the Furious Five. But I think by the time I got to Hill House in 81 and the 81 convention record came out, there were two more before. There were three. I think the first one was 78, 79, 80, and then the 81 one with that Grandmaster Flash routine on there. Forget it, man. I have since that day that I heard that, been part of the culture since then.
Mm.
I went from being corny to fly. I did everything for that culture. And it has made me who I am, really, to tell you the truth, other than my belief in God. You know what I mean?
Did it keep you from really delving deep, deep into the streets or?
No.
No.
It drew me into the streets. It did. I mean, when you're a kid, when you're in middle school, I mean, I think that when boys really start liking girls or girls really start liking boys, each boy want to outdo themselves with the haircut, the dress, you know, the way you dress, sneakers and stuff mm-hmm. like that. To this day, I'm almost 60 years old, but I dress the same way I did mm-hmm. with my first CETA job, 14 years old, getting my check to go get my first pair of Pumas that I bought. That I used to, I had to beg my mother to buy me, you know, shoes and on top of taking care of us. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can start buying my shoes then. And I'm proud of that. I'm happy. I created a very vicious cycle because you do know my oldest boy. If you put the two of us together and stretched our sneakers out, they'd probably wrap all the way to 95 from here. You get what I mean? It created a thing, but it's also a pride thing that at least we know when we step out, we try to at least, you know, look decent, you know.
Well, that's the allure, right? The allure is to be able to afford for yourself what your parents can't afford for you. Because by that time, you see the stress, the financial stress that's causing your family. And you want to relieve them of that financial stress.
You also want your own stuff, and you don't know how to ask. But that's where other parts of growing up come in, you know. And as you elaborate, I shall too. I don't have no shame. So, you know, if you ask the question, I'll answer it.
No, it's okay. So you're making these decisions, you know, based on our environment because that's what they really are.
Yeah.
We're making choices that we feel are going to benefit ourselves. Mm-hmm. What was your turning point? What was your wall? What was maybe the valley for you when it came to what you were doing to your community and to yourself?
It's a very odd thing, my transition into street hustling. Because I grew up in a very, very prominent religious organization that I am not a part of, not necessarily by choice anymore, but because of my transgressions throughout life. You know, my religion, per se, removes you from the population mm-hmm. if you mess up. So you don't.
Then it's the Seventh-day Adventists.
No, Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness. Okay.
I want to be feared.
It's okay. No. There's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. But you respect it, mm-hmm. and it is a certain way of life.
Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, there's three things I wish I could do, but probably the first one, and the only one, is listen at the right time when I was a teenager back then. Believe that fornication ends up breaking your heart any way you look at it, and it continues to break your heart. A lot of people won't admit this. Everybody want to go with the machismo, like they ain't never had their heart broken. I continue to get my heart broken. And it started back then. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, I'm married. This is my third marriage. But, I mean, leading up to this, I mean, not listening caused the majority of my pain. Even some mild drug abuse. You get what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. that's what happens. It is, you know. And then you look at other people, how they handle things. There's a lot of cases in the news now about, you know, murders like that, college murder and stuff. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why that boy went in there and stabbed all them people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not him. And people handle things differently. I say that to make this point. Life decisions are tough. And if you act on emotion like I have tended to do in the past, you end up hurting yourself even worse. You know?
With that said, you make a turn and you start living more positive.
Mm-hmm.
What caused that? When did that happen? Because, I mean, you went into the streets. Mm-hmm. What was the other side of it?
I realized that, and some people that hear this is going to crack up, especially street people. I realized no matter how many bundles I sold for somebody, that was their money. And the meager money I was making to take a bullet or get beat down or robbed or any kind, arrested, of course, you know, be involved in any kind of retaliatory things or something like that, I'd actually be going to jail for some powder and some bags and cash that wasn't even mine, you know? I'm business-minded. And back in my late teens when I was out there, I started developing in my mind saying these things. And plus, I had my first kid when I was 16, you know, and she's 40 years old. I can't believe I'm saying that. I have a 40-year-old daughter, but I love her to death. She saved me in a way. But going back to that.
No. Let's delve into that.
Yeah,
she saved you.
Yeah, she saved me.
Once you have a child, you do make choices a little bit different. Now, it doesn't rectify everything, but
yeah, she saved me because at one point we was worried about whether she's gonna start talking. You know, she was almost two and couldn't really do sentences too much. And you know, waking up, staying out all night, There wasn't no cell phones then. Hot summer, you wake up in the afternoon feeling like crap because either you got a hangover or something going on with you. Day in, day out, oh, you got your little girl. Oh, the baby asked for you. Baby wants to see you. And this, that, the next thing. And I go to see her whenever I make time. I'm not going to even sit here and lie and say whenever I have time. It's whenever I made time to go and see her. After the second or third time, she sat there and she, you know, jumped with me and smiled and hugged me and hugged me and hugged me. I said, nah, she's more important than Mina to me. Then I started thinking about, even though Daddy was absent most of the time, how he treated me when we were together. Then, the thing to top it off the most, I started thinking about how my mom always treated me. And I said, I got to at least give my kids at least a piece of that part, you know? So that started me, and it made my cohorts very angry, because we kind of had some real dumb hood fun back then, having people worried about certain things that might happen. You know, we can read into that the way it may be. But then we are in turn worried about the same thing from other people. You know, so it ain't fun, man. I ain't gonna lie. People say they ain't scared of, you know, dying. But when it's in your face a few times in your life, it's something that you don't get accustomed to. You know what I mean? You know, it might be sometimes driving too fast in a car. Sometimes somebody holding a gun to your chest. Sometimes somebody got a knife to your throat. All these things happen on a daily. Now it just happens, you know? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, somebody going to their car after working and somebody come up on them, take their car. That's just as bad as being shot in some type of botched drug deal. It's the same thing. You lose your life for nothing.
I just want to apologize that this sounds way too normal for you.
Yeah.
Way too normal. You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario. I'm giving Mr. Marcus Carpenter a moment to breathe. Mm-hmm. He has shared so much with us, delving into things that, you know, we do on the drum. Mm-hmm. Only we do on the drum. You have a sister? Any other siblings? Or
my brother's dead. He was my arch enemy. He taught me to stay on my toes.
What's his name?
Michael Robert Carpenter.
What's your sister's name?
Orlean Dawes Slater. My sister's pretty popular. People don't hear that. Everybody that knows me, though, knows. Anybody that knew me, especially growing up in the hall or whatever, they know who my sister is. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then your brother, your solicitor. So it was your brother, your older brother, your arch nemesis.
Oh, God, that guy, man. Wish he was still here now, because there's certain things that I would have cleared up with him by now. That Cain and Abel stuff is corny, man. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's honest, though. If you ever really, really think about it, as far as being close, even in blood or whatever have you, your brother's close to you, not as close as your parents, but you come from the same place, so I would say that they are. Your brother and sister are just an extension of your parents, just like you are. And they're the first people you had the reason with.
Hmm.
They are.
Yeah, well, because they're going through the experience at the same time.
Yeah, but me and my sister are 9 years apart. And, 11, I'm sorry.
God. Wow.
Give me 11 years, yeah. I'm 57, she's 68. And wow. Just found out that she had cancer at the top of the year and gave her 9 months to live.
Wow.
After us not speaking for a decade.
Well, you know, everything in due time.
No, we are speaking now thanks to my wife keep on pushing the issue on both sides. And, you know, that was glorious when that made
you. Would you have wished you had that with your brother?
Oh, heck yeah. We did talk a lot.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, he went back to Jamaica. So, you know, we didn't talk a lot after. But we wish had a chance to act mature together.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Uh-huh. Especially for my mother's sake. You get what I mean? Because it's bad enough.
Mm-hmm. You know, it kills a parent. Kills a parent to see their love, their kids not talk. Let's talk about your children now. You got a lot of not a good children out here.
Yeah, well, I don't have a lot.
Well,
I have five.
Okay.
I have my daughter, Tierra. She's 40. I have my son, Marcus T. Harvin, hint, hint. He's 37. I have my daughter, Ariel. She's 26. I have my son, Noah. He's 17. I have my daughter, Nyla, 14. I have three grandchildren. The ages is tough, but I'm going to go for it. Mariah should be 15, turning 16, because the reason why I know that, or somewhere around that, because her and Noah is a couple of years apart. You get what I mean?
All right.
And then Mia, my second youngest granddaughter is 13, because she's a year younger than her aunt Nyla.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that. And then we have Maddie Patty, which is the boss. She's the boss of the world. That kid right there, man. I don't want Schwarzkopf, Arnold. I don't want nobody. Rambo. I don't care who it is. I want that baby going to war with me. That baby is the most interesting person I've met in my adult life. And I say that not taken in away from her father, which is my son, or my other four children, or even her two sisters. It's just that Madison came in a very, very pertinent time for my family. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
My son is already, you know, he was in prison, and it hurt me that he was in prison. And I always wish there was something I could have done before he went to prison to stop him. I tried everything. And it's not like he's some notorious bad kid. I mean, you know, people that know. And regardless of what happened, I put him in jail. Now he has, I'm getting kind of upset with him for always, he's not giving me any other accolade or thankful saying to say to him. He does too much, man. You get it? He does too much. He graduated from college twice in the last 3 years since he's been out of jail. He started New Hallville Fresh Starts. I drove for him until I had sciatica. I drove for him every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we deliver food to everybody. It don't mean that you got to be homeless for us to feed you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
Word up. No matter what nationality you are, where you live, even in the burbs, these parents are struggling to keep these kids in whatever living situation they are. So they gotta work extra hard. And I'm sorry, sometimes they can't cook. McDonald's is not healthy. I don't even know what that crap is now when I go there. No, you know, disclaimer to McDonald's, but people should eat healthy meals, and we provide that for people, free of cost. As a matter of fact, this is something that most people don't know. It might be an assumed thing that somehow, some way, you know, Marcus, he's smart. He'll tell his son, he'll figure out some way to get paid. Nah, we figure out how to do it from our heart, bro. We don't get paid at all. We actually have to pay to give you the food. We don't even get, who's giving us gas stipends? Who's paying our car insurance? Who's paying a wear and tear for these vehicles when we go and deliver this food? It's all from the heart. Because we're Christians, okay?
How I feel like you have reached a point in your life where you have broken generational curses and you're there to witness it. What does that mean to you?
Well, in all honesty, in my life, you know that old Jamaica adage about we got tree job. Well, my mother did have tree job. My father had one at Pratt and Whitney, but they were divorced anyway since I was six.
Mm-hmm.
The only generational curse I experienced personally might have been infidelity in the gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, I broke that curse. But when did I break that curse, and for who? Because my children span an age from 40 to 14. You get it? Four different women, five kids. Okay. I was always trying to get right with my religion ever since I became a dad, especially when I became a dad, because I wanted my child to grow up the way I did, at least having an understanding that do unto others as you want them to do to you, show respect to your elders, all that stuff. Please, thank you, I beg your pardon, whatever it might be, knife, fork, fork, salad fork, knife, spoon, whatever we were. Because in a Jamaican household, you taught to set the table the right way.
Mm-hmm.
With a serviette, which is a napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're having salad or you're having soup, there needs to be an extra utensil upon each side. You know, or else you have to do it again. Those things may seem silly, stringent, ridiculous. Oh, I ain't doing that white people stuff. Yeah, I just said that. But in all honesty, especially us that were the product of the English, we do have to do the white people stuff. That's what we were taught. You get what I mean?
Yeah, no. You don't got to explain. Yeah, it's one thing that we all have in common is colonization.
Yes.
Yes, and just because you know, it's like I always say, Paul Mooney, you know, when he refers to Jamaicans who think they're better than everyone else just because they got dropped off first.
Mm-hmm.
But we all suffer from that trauma. But when I say generational curses, I mean when you talk about Maddie and you see Maddie as an individual, and what she is now.
I smile as soon as you say Maddie, man, that's my
and
girl.
What she represents for your family.
She represents the pinnacle of my family because, see, now she has the opportunity to witness almost four generations herself. You get it? My mom's still alive. I'm still alive. Her dad is still alive, and now she's the fourth generation. You get it? So she is, you know what I mean? And we all get a chance to raise her, even if it's just bringing her to stare at my mother in that bed, because you should have seen her the first day she saw my mother in that bed. She's wasn't even 1 year old. April, May. She wasn't even one yet, because we were there for my sister's birthday, visiting, you know, all of us, Marcus' brother and my nephew was here from Baltimore and stuff. And she had never laid eyes on my mother, but when she saw her, her dad was holding her over my mother, her little mouth open, like, you know, like wow, like that wow emoji. And it stayed that whole way while we were in the room with my mother. She just wouldn't take her eyes off my mother. She was like, and we, you know, we held her away like this. Their little face is still the same. It was weird, man, but.
Some kids are intuitive on a different level.
This one definitely is. And that's why she's my, that's my buddy.
There you go. Yeah. This is the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. The emotional roller coaster known as Marcus Carpenter. Thank you so much for sharing all the things that mean everything to you.
I'm on an emotional roller.
With that said, we're in our final minutes. What will be your final words to our community?
Discipline your children so death or incarceration don't have to do it for you. Not to say, I mean, you know, it's a shame that, and like Jose said about a half hour ago, like it seems like all this stuff is all too normal for me, because it is. Let's just be honest, but I think that, you know, especially all the people that was raised being forced to go to church like all of us were. I mean, there was a reason why your parents forced you to go to church. That's where you could get a grasp on humanity, or you should at least. And that's where that do one or others thing comes in. If more of us could do that, I'm sure nobody wants nobody to storm into their house in the middle of the night and rob them, kill them, steal their car, rape them, or whatever have you. So if you don't want nobody to do that to you, no matter how sick or demented or you know, about that life you say you are, don't do that to people. And here's one even better. When your kid is involved in some violent crime, I ain't trying to hear nothing about no hood. That's silly. You know, oh, they was repping. Yeah, well, then they're going to jail. Or now they're in the morgue. You know, and what that repping did was just create another statistic. So if you claim to be Christian, act Christ-like like he did. He wasn't out here trying to kill people. He was out here trying to help people. Help him. See old lady crossing the street, and I mean this, help her. You know, help her. You see somebody need a help doing anything. You see somebody broken down on the road. Be cautious doing this, but help them. Or at least call for help or ask them, do you need help? And better yet, help your family by trying to, you know, treat them the best way you can so they don't go out in the world with a chip on their shoulder and, you know, cause problems for themselves and somebody else. And if you don't stop me now, I'll have some more adages an hour from now. So that's it.
This has been the Electric Drum. I'm Jose Candelario. This is 94.3 WYBC. These were the words of Marcus Carpenter. And like always, to everybody that's out there, thank you so much for listening.